Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Harmon has the rest of the week off. Steve DeSager in tonight.
Hey, Steve.
And we're going to get to the latest involving Deshaun Watson coming up in a couple of minutes. But a big return in the NBA tonight. The Nets, who really, it doesn't matter what kind of stars they have or not, they win every game 135 to 110. they get Kevin Durant back tonight, playing his first game. He was perfect from the field. He was perfect from the free throw line. He scored 17 points in 19 minutes, also had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. The Nets just blow out the Pelicans, 139 to 111. This was not even close heading into the fourth quarter. So Kyrie Irving scores 24 for the Nets, which I part of me thinks, Steve, that this is like a normal work schedule. Like when you go in, I would go into work, and when I worked in a supermarket or places where they would put the schedule up in the back room, and you would go in on Sunday, go, okay, I'm working Monday, I'm off Tuesday, I'm working Wednesday and Thursday, I'm off Friday.
Sounds like me this week.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Steve Nash does. He goes, okay, so we need two stars a night. All right, so we'll have Kyrie and Kevin on Monday. Then we'll have James and Kyrie on Tuesday. Okay, then Friday we'll go back to Kevin and well, Kyrie's already done 2 days. All right, we'll go to Kevin and James on Friday. Then Sunday's going to be, because it's comical at this point. You know, hey, everything is great, and then somebody's coming back. Somebody gets hurt.
And what's comical?
Someone takes some time away, and they come back, and now we got somebody back. It's like, really, I said at the beginning of the year, this whole Nets experiment, it's not going to go more than 50 games before it blows up. But at this point, they could win the title and still play less than 50 games together. I said the three of them are going to play 50 games together at the most, and it's going to blow up by then. 50 games the three of them are going to play together. They could go win the title this year, and they still won't even reach 50 games.
What's comical is it's still like this, the in and out with the injuries and the resting, and the team is 36-16. I mean, they moved into solo first place in the Eastern Conference tonight. James Harden, of course, is out now with a strained hamstring. By the way, for New Orleans, the opponent, Brandon Ingram, out again with a sore foot. That's a guy who averages 24 points a game. They lost by about 24, so I don't know if that really had an effect. Brooklyn just dominated this. I mean, there was a lot of scoring throughout the NBA. Indiana scored over 140. Even Washington scored over 130. Memphis did as well, but Brooklyn almost 140 points here.
And now they're officially in first place in the Eastern Conference. They're up by a half game over the 76ers. And this is why, look, finishing in first place is a much bigger deal in the East than it is in the West, because in the West, okay, if you're Utah, you finish first, but you still could wind up getting the Nuggets or the Lakers in the second round, and, you know, then the Suns and the Clippers. You have good teams 1 through 6. In the East, really, it's about avoiding having to be in that 2-3 matchup, because the Sixers and Bucks don't want to have to play each other and then go through the Nets. So whoever finishes first is going to be in the real catbird seat. And I'll tell you what, it looks like the Nets are a team that they've been rising since they got James Harden. The Sixers have kind of been holding court. So if I'm looking at the end of the season, I fully expect the Nets to finish in first place in the Eastern Conference, just because the talent they're trotting out, their regular season good, but they're really not going to play another game that matters till the Eastern Conference Finals. Like that's where, because if they're playing the first round of whoever gets in, I mean, I'd love to see the Nets and the Knicks in the first round. That'd be great.
Another game that counts till the East Finals?
They're not going to, no, because they're going to beat the crap out of whoever they play in the first round, and then they're going to wind up playing a team like Charlotte or Atlanta, somebody like that in the second round. They're going to blow them out. Then it's going to be, okay, Nets Sixers or Nets Bucks, and that's going to be the first real series they're going to play, is going to be in the East Finals.
Keep in mind, and I know a fan that's maybe a fan of, say, the 8 seed currently in the East might keep this in mind. There is that play-in tournament as we head toward postseason that they experimented with. So mid-May, before the rest of the teams start their playoff series, this little play-in tournament among, well, this is how it works. It's the loser of the 7-versus-8 game is going to host the winner of the 9-10 game in a play-in. So you could finish as low as 10th which is currently the Chicago Bulls at 21-28, and still have a chance to qualify your way in to the final eight of the postseason. So a team like the Celtics, who have shockingly to me struggled around the 500 mark all year, Celtics could be one of those opponents for somebody in a playoff game. And then guess what? These Brooklyn Nets that you're just talking about, they could be facing then a play-in winner as their first-round opponent.
They could be facing the Nets and the Knicks. And I mean, please, let's make that happen. Let's make Nets Knicks happen. All right. Like, because clearly the Knicks are catching up to them because they went from losing by 30 to losing by 2. So, you know, they're getting better. You know, it's benchmark games. Like in Little League. Hey, this is a first place team. They beat us 13-1 in the first game. Then they beat us 9-4 and they beat us 6-5 here at the end of the season.
Oh, so
we've
there.
Gotten a lot better this year.
Yeah. Okay, keep in mind with the playoffs, we did start the league a little later this year. So the NBA playoffs for the bulk of the playoff teams does not begin until the weekend of May 22nd. That is, 5 weeks later than usual. So we could have the NBA finals concluding as late as July 22nd, which is about the same time the Olympic basketball team would be starting play in Tokyo, just for the record. NBA playoffs, there's the play-in tournament, and then for the rest, Saturday, May 22nd, it'll begin. Mm.
Look, if the Knicks just get in the play-in tournament, I'm happy. Just get in there. Just do a little bit. Just do a little something.
Because it counts. Those are playoff games.
Yeah, it is. We can hang a banner in MSG for that. Hey, it's so exciting. Look at us. We're winning.
Well, it also means that in the West, a team like Golden State, which lost by 53 recently, could be your 10 seed and therefore make it into the play-in tournament and have a chance to play in their way. You know, it could be a Golden State and Steph against Devin Booker and Phoenix in one of these first rounds.
We'll have more NBA coming up in a few minutes. Rick Bucher stops by, Fox Sports 1 NBA insider. More on what is next. Are the Lakers still okay? Can they tread water? But today was a very big day regarding developments surrounding Deshaun Watson. It was nothing legally today. We didn't have any more women add to the complaints of the civil lawsuits.
That's news.
22 women. Because usually every day there's somebody. Oh, there wasn't anybody today. But Deshaun Watson has now lost a couple of very big endorsements as he's been dropped by Beats by Dr. Dre and by Nike. And when we broke down the press conference yesterday that Tony Busby had, you had a couple of the accusers speak. It was very powerful, and there was no way anybody could push this aside anymore. The NFL is going to need to act at some point. They're going to need to put him on the exempt list, which is not an admission of guilt. It's just the NFL saying, hey, we understand what's going on right now is really serious, and we're taking this serious. You put him on the exempt list, it's the middle of April. It doesn't matter. People have come on and off the exempt list. It's not an admission of guilt. Look, Adrian Peterson was on the exempt list. He came off. He's still playing in the NFL. But the NFL's got to do something.
Well, what they're going to do, Jason, is follow the lead of this Nike sentence in their statement today. Literally just fill in the blank of your name and say, we are deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. That's exactly what Nike said, that one sentence today.
And I'll tell you, if you really want to know what the future looks like for Deshaun Watson, this is going to be a very sobering conversation where I think you're going to get these are the stakes for Watson. Because for the longest time, it was, we look forward to proving this, having our day in court, and all of this happening. And sure, you have some suits that are in the misdemeanor portion right now, which can be pled down to almost nothing. But this is 22 women that are alleging him of sexual misconduct. First thing I'll tell you is this. He's going to wind up being suspended for the entire 2021 season. All right, you're not going to see him play in the NFL this year. The NFL can look back to a circumstance like Ben Roethlisberger. Amy Dash talked about this with this last night. Remember, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't proven guilty of a crime, but the NFL, he didn't protect the shield. There was a big civil case against him. They suspended him for 4 games. This is 22 women. 22 women. And part of this could be, you could look at this as a trafficking issue because some of these women came from out of state to Deshaun Watson. So no matter how this comes out, if he pleads things out, if he winds up being able to settle, I don't see him playing in the 2021 season. I don't see that happening. I don't know how you go from here's 22 women accusing you of this. None of the women he has said that he doesn't know. No, we're not making this up. He doesn't even know who these women are. How do you have 40 masseuses? I mean, really, how do you have this? I just don't see him being able to play football in 2021.
That's one of many very good questions, by the way. He'll be turning 26 years old this season, Deshaun Watson. The irony for me initially is that what's the quote from his college coach from the draft 4 years ago when some teams passed? I just think you're passing on Michael Jordan. And then today, Nike, Jordan's company essentially, passes on Deshaun Watson. That was today's news.
So that's for 2021. I'll tell you another one. He's never going to play in Houston again. He's never going to play there again.
Are you writing that down in pen?
Even if he settles, how can he play in Houston again with this being the backdrop? With here's all these women who accused him of many different things, and you can stay in that town. That's not going to work. The Texans don't want to have to come to the stadium every day and see protests and hear about how do you let him still play. Yeah. This is over 20. This is not one woman that's accused him of something. This is 22 women. I can't see him playing in Houston ever again. He's going to have to go play someplace else. And has he played his last game in the NFL?
No.
No. What will happen is this. He will be suspended for the season, I'm sure, when it comes down to it. And then everybody's going to take the temperature of where things are at after that year is over. At some point, will he get back into the game? If signs point to, hey, if we sign him, people have forgiven him. And this is all waiting to see how this plays out. This is if Deshaun Watson is able to, you know, isn't found guilty of anything or any things come up. If he's able to plead his way out of it or have some kind of settlement, whatever it is, even if he's suspended for a year, people will wait. And after that year is over, it's going to be, can he come back to the NFL right now? Because we've seen people come back when we thought, well, they're not coming back. Kareem Hunt came back to the NFL. So it'll be a year, and then it's going to be, ooh, okay, what do we do with him? The Texans will keep his rights, because then if somebody wants him, they're going to figure out a way to deal him or trade him. But that's your immediate and far future for Deshaun Watson. I don't think he plays this season. I don't think he plays in Houston again. But will he play again after a year someplace else? Yes, I think that happens.
I absolutely think that happens, because to me, case number one in this type of thing is Michael Vick, who I thought, boy, he may have seen, and he was in his 20s, about the same age, actually, when he had 2 years off from the NFL. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he'll never be a starting quarterback again. He was in the league for another 7 years once he came back and was a starter for multiple years with Philadelphia and got a big new contract. So his career was hardly over. And just because the cases aren't the same, it is the same type of things people were saying initially over a decade ago with Michael Vick that people may not be saying out loud at the moment. All we know to say out loud at the moment in Houston is their police department does have an open investigation, whatever that is, whatever those details are, and the NFL is going to have to act at some point. We've got a season not starting next month, I realize, but yeah, sure, before camp, before September, the NFL absolutely is going to have to act.
Yeah, I mean, just think about 22 women. I mean, the numbers, it's like it's not even real anymore. Like when you see, here's a woman that's accused, okay, that's a big deal. Now here's two, and here's three.
That's not 22 news conferences. That's
five.
Lawsuits from 22.
Yeah. And Tony Busby said he turned away five women who he said, well, I don't know that we can prove what happened in a court. So there's five more people, that women that he wanted to take on, that he said, listen, I just don't think we can do it.
You mentioned
who
Busby.
Knows if he wound up.
His law firm is representing, I think, all of the plaintiffs, right?
Yes. And some of them, the couple who have been talking, I don't know if he technically represents her or not, but all the ones that are going forward with the civil case are all the ones he's representing. He's got 22 of them. I mean, that's an incredible number. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it gets to a point where it doesn't even seem real. But the difference between, hey, here's, you know, one woman who has accused him of this and we're trying to figure out what happened, right? If it's one woman and it turns out to be a misdemeanor, because some of the things that were described were misdemeanor offenses, which, again, as we talked to Amy Dash, can be pled down to nothing and he can figure a settle way out. Okay, great. Then he comes and plays. 22 women.
Yeah, I mean, is there a sexual assault in there? Is it a lot of inappropriate behavior? You're right. This is way too early to start speculating on what levels it will wind up legally.
It's just that's kind of how I see it for him, that 2021 is not going to be a season for Deshaun Watson to play football in the NFL.
So do you want to be the new coach of the Houston Texans?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. David Culley's got his work cut out for him. Yikes. He'll be starting Tyrod Taylor week one. That's how it's going to go.
They went 4-12 with him, right?
Yeah. It's yeah. Okay. But look, but they'll still hold on to him because he'll still wind up being an asset. And in a year, if someone really wants Deshaun Watson and they, you know, put their finger in their mouth and test the wind and go, okay, we're going to get some kind of blowback, but we love the talent the guy has, and it's okay to get him. Then we'll wind up signing him. Again, that's going to be something that's a year down the road, but that's kind of how it's going to go because the Texans are going to need to be able to move him for something. This is all, you know, predicated on the fact that Deshaun Watson figures things out with these 22 accusers. So there's still a long way to go to even get to there, but even if he does, I can't see the NFL allowing him to play this year. That's really what I keep coming back to. Mm-hmm.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Mike tonight. A quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, joining us now on the hotline, Fox Sports 1 NBA insider extraordinaire, friend of the show, Rick Bucher. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher, and a huge day for Rick. He got the COVID vaccine, and he just had a book come out yesterday. It's all about Tom Thibodeau and his impact on the Knicks. Rick, it's an awesome thing. It's middle of the season. You got this book out. I am very proud of you.
Well, thank you very much. And I thought you would appreciate the title of it, Tibbs Yo. It was inspired by you. You know, this is the problem. When I come, you just did the railroad, the train crossing thing. This show is my personal train crossing. I always have to stop and look both ways. I want to just come charging in and enjoy myself, but I realize, you know what? There may be a fast-moving vehicle somewhere around here that I'm not aware of. I better be careful.
Now, the book is Rebound that you wrote with Brian Grant, who's got an incredible story. And I know you wrote about, you're choked up thinking about how he trusted you to help tell his story. Give us a little bit about the book.
Well, thank you very much for mentioning it. It is, Brian Grant, as people know, was quite a warrior of a power forward for the Kings, the Blazers, and the Miami Heat primarily. Also did a stint with the Lakers and the Suns toward the end of his career, but developed young onset Parkinson's, basically realized that he was starting to suffer the effects his last year playing in the NBA, and that has been his battle for the last 14 years, and Parkinson's in particular takes away the two things that really were at the heart of his identity, which is his personality and gregariousness. Depression is a huge part of Parkinson's, and then just his physique. It affects your nervous system, your body control, all sorts of things, and so he had to come to terms with all those things, and has so in winning fashion, starting the Brian Grant Foundation and being a huge advocate and supporter of people with Parkinson's and how to go about living their life in a normal way in spite of the disease. And I was the one that he called upon to announce to the world back in 2009 that he had Parkinson's, and we've talked ever since about, you know, potentially doing a book someday. And it took a while to get to the point where he was really ready to do. I just didn't want to do a book. I wanted to do a book that really spoke the truth to everything that's transpired, and that's what he's done. And the fact that he trusted me in telling that story is what truly I just, you know, seeing it out. It's already number 5 on the Amazon basketball book list. We got Kobe, John Thompson, and Tim Grover, Michael Jordan's trainer, to surpass, to get to the top. So to all the listeners out there, help us get there. We want to get Brian to number 1. And certainly its support for the Parkinson's Foundation and Parkinson's overall is part of the cause. But I think you will find it a fascinating read, both for basketball, for Parkinson's, and just for a small-town Ohio kid who came out of nowhere and had an extraordinary life and continues to have an extraordinary life, learning more from Parkinson's than he did playing in the NBA or pretty much from anything else.
Rick, this is Steve. That's great. I'm glad that you went on about this because, as a fan, I like movies, for example. Not every story deserves to be told. Not every book deserves to be written. Already, I think people can tell this is a story that needs to be told. We just finished with March Madness. I remember Brian Grant in March Madness in the 90s with Xavier and winning games. Mm-hmm. Xavier winning games at March Madness. So this is great. I'm glad you talked about that. As far as the NBA, and people always talk about the MVP race in that league more than any other, let me say first off, I wouldn't mind if James Harden won the MVP, and just the assists alone are eye-opening for him because mm-hmm. he still does all the scoring. But I often hear with MVP voters, oh, it's a good player and his team's having a good year. Yeah. Wouldn't this apply to Devin Booker, who's still Devin Booker and shooting for 50%, and his team could be a 1 or 2 seed? They've been ahead of the Lakers and Clippers in the standings.
Yeah, I think the thing that's working against Devin is that I don't know how much more he's doing now than he's done in the past. I think he has been an underrated scorer, and that the huge leap that the Phoenix Suns have taken is, I believe, in at least in part because of the presence of Chris Paul. It's the first time that, and no offense to Ricky Rubio, who was solid last year and probably the second best point guard that that Devin has ever played with. But to me, Chris Paul and the combination of Chris Paul and Monty Williams and the demeanor that they've brought to that team has allowed Devin to have the success and to play in meaningful games in a way that he hasn't previously. And so I don't know that Devin would be my first choice from the Phoenix Suns. I've said at various times this season that Chris Paul would be on my five man, that the ballot, the MVP ballot is five slots. And I would consider Chris Paul for one of those slots.
Rick Bucher with us, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. All right, now, there's something we talked about when we talked about Kevin Durant and his comeback tonight, perfect from the floor tonight, 17 points, and the Nets win by 50. I said, look, they're probably going to finish first in the East, and the next game that's really going to count is going to come in the Eastern Conference Finals. Am I right on with that? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it just depends on who they see along the way. I feel better about the Milwaukee Bucks this year, in spite of the loss the other night to the Golden State Warriors. I feel better about them than I have in any of the last 3 years as far as a title contender. I think the Philadelphia 76ers are the real deal and pose a real threat to the Brooklyn Nets. This is what I don't know about the Brooklyn Nets. And what scares me a little bit is that they feel like the Milwaukee Bucks of the previous 2 years, which is because of their offense, because of their depth in scoring potential, they're going to run over and maul a lot of teams in the regular season. It's going to look like it's easy. You could probably throw in the Houston Rockets of a couple of years ago as well. But when you get to the postseason and the game becomes physical and you're not getting to the free throw line and the referees don't give you the same kind of space, defense does matter. And the Brooklyn Nets have not demonstrated that they are capable of playing consistent lockdown defense. Now, maybe they can, but I just look at the talent that they have, and like, is KD, when he went to the Warriors, probably played his best defense. Has he been a consistent, really good defender? No. James Harden, we don't have to go there. Kyrie Irving, don't have to go there. Joe Harris, uh-uh. So, I understand how potent they are offensively, but defense does matter. And for those who are saying, well, the Golden State Warriors had this dynamic offense and they won championships, yeah, but you are discounting how good defensively they were, how good Draymond Green was, how good Klay Thompson was. I mean, Steph Curry was the only liability defensively, and in their championship years, he got after it in a way that he made himself at least a mediocre defender. I've just never seen a team that has multiple defenders who are not are below average. I've never seen a team like that win a championship, and that to me is what the Brooklyn Nets are.
Rick, this Saturday night, the national TV game is Lakers at Brooklyn. The next weekend, the Lakers play Utah back-to-back. Without the stars, the Lakers have slipped to the 5 seed in the West. They're only 5 games ahead of the 8 seed. We were talking about the play-in games earlier. Is it possible the Lakers are involved in the play-in games before the rest of the playoffs start in earnest with everybody in the conference?
At least some of that depends on when do we see LeBron and AD back. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, looking at not just the fact that the Lakers are sliding, but that the rest of the West is surging. Last I checked, this was a couple of days ago, they were 3-5, they're 4-5. I think they're 4-5 now since LeBron went down. Everybody else in the Western Conference was 6-2 or better.
Memphis won
and
again
so,
tonight, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's going the other direction. And so, yeah, I could very, very easily see them in the play-in games. And the tricky part that they're going to face is, unlike the bubble last year, is that when AD and LeBron get back, they're going to have to make a choice. Are we going to coast into this? Are we going to build ourselves back in and not worry about winning games, which is essentially what they did when they entered the bubble with the remaining regular season games. I mean, I think they were 3-5 in those games, and clearly they weren't putting their best effort on a nightly basis. They just kind of like, let's get in condition. And they had room to afford because of where they were in the standings. So do they do that and accept that they've got a play-in game, or do they try to get themselves out of that? Because, you know, if I'm the Lakers, I don't want my run at a second championship weighing on one game by the NCAA tourney. I mean, we saw it with Gonzaga and Ohio State, any number of teams that may be the more talented team, but on any given night, anybody can lose. And that would be the prospect that the Lakers would face if they are in the play-in situation. So it's a very complicated, difficult position that they're in. It's anybody who's looking at it and saying, hey, you know, the bubble gave them the time off. LeBron and AD are getting their time off. When they get back, the Lakers will be right back to where they were. Because these are injuries and not a shutdown, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. And considering the type of injuries they have, particularly with AD, I don't know that you want him back and then immediately trying to go full bore and pull yourselves out of the play-in situation. So it is... There's legitimate reason for concern about where the Lakers find themselves right now.
He is Rick Bucher. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher, and the book is Rebound. The book is Rebound, Brian Grant's story. It is awesome. Soaring in the NBA, battling Parkinson's, and finding what really matters. It's available. It's out now. As Rick said, Amazon, it's number 5 on basketball books, just ahead of the Tom Thibodeau story, which is just ahead of the Julius Randle story, which is just ahead of the Emmanuel Quickley story. So those are the three right under Rick's book. But
right.
Rick, congratulations on the book. And best of luck with it. And I hope it does gangbusters for you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you for rounding out the top 10 of Amazon's basketball book for me.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
All right. There goes Rick Bucher and the book Rebound, available everywhere right now. Just a great, great thing from Rick Bucher. You know, the thing about the Lakers, Steve, is that you kind of have to realize, you know, you remember the line from 8 Mile when Eminem says, you know, you got to realize you got to stop living up here and start living down here. The Lakers have to realize, you know, when you realize you got to stop thinking about, hey, we got to catch the Jazz and get to the top of the West
and
start thinking about how we just got to finish 6th. right? Like, that's where you want to be. Like, that's the victory for the Lakers. That's where they should be saying, all right, what is attainable for us over the course of the next few weeks and couple of months? Because it's not just the fact that they're missing their stars. It's the teams that were under them all got better, right? The Nuggets got better. The Blazers are playing great. I mean, they lost their last game, but, you know, Norm Powell's been terrific for them coming over. And Dallas has figured it out. You know, they lost, but they had won a bunch of games in a row.
Five in a row.
So suddenly it's, you know, I would say, okay, the Lakers look pretty good if sitting six, but Dallas is playing really good. And, you know, and the Lakers are only three games out of seventh. And that's where seventh, you worry about a game like against Golden State, where maybe it's a night where, hey, Steph scored 55 tonight. Can you believe that? And guess what? You're going home. Maybe it's the Pelicans with, hey, guess what? We had a really inspired effort tonight, man. Everybody came to play. We had one chance to take down the defending champions. There's nobody that you are saying we're okay playing one game against. I mean, that's the part of the drama of this NBA season that I don't think the NBA even saw when they made this 7 through 10. They just saw it as a, hey, we can make 7 through 10 play-in games really interesting, and we can sell the advertising for it, and everybody is interested, because look at what it was like last year in the bubble. Right? Before the playoffs began, we had playoff games that were like this. Even though it was 7 through 10 and those teams aren't going anywhere, it was still really exciting. So that's always going to be there, and now you're going to have you could have Steph and Zion playing in the play-in.
Could be at Celtics-Knicks in a play-in
yes.
game.
Yes, I mean, it would be all. Well, if that happens, Brad Stevens has a new job by then. But but you could see this. But the other part of it is, now, here's part of that drama of, boy, we're good. We want to stay out of that now. Because look at the teams in the top six in both the East and the West. Right? We went through the teams in the West. Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers, Blazers. And we told you the Mavericks are good. Memphis has been playing really well. But you got seven teams there that are pretty good. You get to the sixth spot in the East, and after, it's the Heat, who, oh, by the way, were in the finals like 8 days ago. And they've been playing better over the course of the past few weeks. And they don't want to drop to seven. I mean, that's a big thing now, because you thought it was just affecting, it's just the bottom feeder teams at the bottom. No, this is, hey, man, we're right in the mix. We could finish third. We could finish seventh. We don't want to finish seventh, man. We got to make sure we get to sixth.
Because
that's a huge part of this.
This is the East. You could be about a 500 team and get the 4 or 5 seed, or be in the play-in games with the 7 through 10. That's how the Eastern Conference is. It doesn't have the depth. And again, for those who aren't with us earlier in the show, keep in mind there are the play-in games to start the postseason in May with the NBA this year. The winner of 7 versus 8 seed earns the 7 seed for real. And the loser of the 7-8 game hosts the winner of 9-10. So you could be as low as 10th place in your conference and still get a chance to move up and move in. Currently, the Golden State Warriors are the 10 in the Western Conference, despite having a record of 24-27.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Mike tonight. When a train, it's a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly, so be cautious at crossings if the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, we have a big quarterback story coming your way in a few minutes, because we have another big-time prospect who's going to get a second chance to wow all the NFL scouts. But clearly this week has been the fallout from the Sam Darnold trade to the Carolina Panthers. And it went from everybody saying how happy they were for him. He had a house party. Yeah, that's great. I watched the guy play for 3 years and he stunk. But this is part of, Steve, why quarterbacks show you in the very beginning if they have it or if they don't. right? Because what is everybody thinking with Sam Darnold across the league? And they say this with quarterbacks all the time. I can fix him, right? Everybody's got that Dr. Frankenstein. I can fix him, right? The Jets completely misused him, but I can fix him. Yes, the Jets didn't use him right, but it's really, can you blame everybody else but Sam Darnold, really? It's everybody else's fault but him? I mean, come on. And what they do with draft picks like this, with prospects like this, if the first couple of years don't go well, they just say, well, we go back to what we saw in college. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But you can't just discount what you saw for the past 3 years, which is what happens. We go back to the guy he was. No, but he's played 3 years in the NFL, and he showed you that he stinks. I mean, you suddenly think, no, you can go back and you go back to tape 3 years ago when he's playing against college kids, and you can figure out what's wrong? I mean, that doesn't make any – there's no other part of life, what you could do for a living, that you would subscribe to that.
Well, more like to the point, it's fair to say he didn't get better with the Jets, right?
No, he didn't get better. He regressed. He didn't even have big games in garbage time. It was nothing. He never got better. He was okay in the beginning, and he kind of dovetailed from there. Yes, he had changes. He had new offenses. He had new things going on. But you still have to shoulder some of the blame, and we know who Sam Darnold is right now. You know, I mean, look at it this way. Let's just say there was this can't-miss kid coming out of college who was an architect, right? And he was going to be great, right? Everything you saw, boy, this kid really knows what it is. He knew how to build houses, design them, everything. He knew it all, man. It was great. Oh, this is the kid. And then his first 3 years out of college, the houses he designs are terrible, right? There's bad foundations. Things are falling. Nothing goes with each other. The materials are cheap. It's like, well, he's had 3 years of really underachieving as an architect. So when he comes and says, I need a new job, are you hiring him for your firm? All the houses you designed are terrible. Yeah, but look, in school, I really ace things in college, man. No, I'm sorry. You have to find a job someplace else. I mean, no other sport, no other job you can do in the world, people say, I'll forget about what happened the last 3 years and go back to the guy you were in college. I mean, I don't know how that works here in the NFL and how you can just ignore what you've seen on the field for the past three seasons.
And last I checked, they had 5 quarterbacks on the Carolina roster, including the guy that the coach knew from Temple that played in that second pro league. But you mentioned go back to college with Darnold. Okay, let's go back to college, because he only played 2 years at USC, and in his final season there he had 13 interceptions in 14 games. What people do remember as far as the spectacular was that truly incredible Rose Bowl game where USC edged Penn State and Sam Darnold threw for 5 touchdowns and they got 10 points in the last 2 minutes. It was one of the great Rose Bowls. Of course, we also saw Vince Young had 2 of the great Rose Bowls in history. And we saw his NFL career.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager. We got more NFL on the way next. A big story. I'm just going to say why. Because I really don't understand why this story is actually going to happen. That's right here. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.